Country Bob FM.
It is the almanac here today. It's been a while since we've used the megaphones. We're going to do that. Please do not be alarmed. It's only the almanac. We're not coming after you for unpaid child support.
Time for the almanac.
Ooh, a little feedback there.
I like it.
It's not often you get the feedback, and that's actually a pretty good effect.
That was a good effect.
Because if you're watching a movie or a show and they're using a megaphone like that, you have to have the... It isn't the same with a little bit of feedback.
Right.
Because you always get it. It's always funny.
That was good.
I mean, even at... Even in Independence Day, when the president is talking to the troops and he's going to give his rousing speech, they have a little feedback there that he's got to fight with.
It's mandatory if you're going to have good effect.
It is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, Neil and Brittany.
And to you, Jim.
Right back to you.
Yeah. This date, 1849, the first photograph of a U.S. president while in office was taken by Matthew Brady.
Huh.
New York City, President James Polk. First one to be in a picture of a sitting U.S. president to be in a photograph. Yeah. He had to sit there for like 3 hours because the exposure time is so long for 1849.
Took a little while.
A lot of things were happening in the world. He could have signed a lot of laws into a lot of bills into law during those 3 hours. I saw the picture, too, and he got a bit of a mullet, James
Polk. He did, yeah.
A little thin up top, and then he's got the mullet in the back. Good for him.
Maybe he had a haircut scheduled later that day.
Right, but he didn't realize he'd have to sit there for 3 hours for the exposure time. And that's why nobody ever smiled in those old pictures. You ever hear about that?
Yeah.
That's why people didn't smile. You see pictures from the 1800s. They had to sit there for so long. Nobody could hold a smile, unless you're the Joker from Batman.
Right.
You can't hold a smile for that long. That's why everybody looks so... Things really weren't that bad in the 1800s. People did have fun, and they smiled, and they laughed. But if you look at pictures from that era, you'd never know.
Nobody did, yeah.
You'd never know. 1876, Alexander Graham Bell filed an application for a patent for the telephone.
That officially worked out
issued,
well.
Yeah. So 1876, he filed for an application. The patent people said, you know what? This is a good idea. We're going to fast track this baby. So it was officially issued then March 7th, so less than a month later.
Oh.
That's kind of fast for patents, from what I understand, from all my buddies, all my patent lawyer buddies that I have.
Sure.
I did contact them for reference. 1899, U.S. Congress approved the use of voting machines for federal elections. The Trump folks went back, and there was some voter fraud.
Yes.
From those voting machines. 1899, Arizona, the 48th state of the Union. 1912 for AZ.
That wrapped up the lower 48.
Lower 48 were complete on this date, 1912.
And what would it be? Another 40-some...
Well, 59, right?
Yeah.
59,
for Alaska,
so 47 years, yeah. 1920, League of Women Voters founded on this date. That was 1920. Of course, women just got the right to vote. 1920, not just recently, but at... What was it? When did that amendment come into... Check that.
I'll fact check that.
1920, Women's League Suffrage. Of Women Voters.
Yeah, it was like in 1917 or something.
1929, you've heard of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, right?
Oh, for sure.
It was in Chicago, Illinois. That's when Al Capone's guys...
Al Capone wasn't there. It was his gang.
No, it was
right?
his guys. His guys, yeah. Not Al Capone. He had people do his work.
Correct.
I mean, he wasn't the guy going around shooting people.
No,
he told
he
people who to shoot.
He preferred to work in close with a baseball bat.
Right. And a billy club.
Right.
Oh, he was also managing his vault that Geraldo eventually opened.
Well,
so he could put scraps of paper and old bottles inside of that vault.
Yeah.
But Al Capone's guys... killed seven members of George Bugs Moran's gang. They were the ones who were hijacking the liquor from Detroit into Chicago, and Al Capone was going to have none of that anymore.
I think his Al Capone's guys like dressed up as police officers.
You're correct.
And
that's
got
what it was.
These guys in there and then line them up against the wall.
He used a couple of Tommy guns.
Jeez.
1929.
Sent a message.
St. Valentine's Day Massacre. It was different back then.
No doubt.
1980, Walter Cronkite announced his retirement from the CBS Evening News. Dan Rather would take over. Dan Rather, I don't know if he's ever as trusted as Walter Cronkite. The whole what's the frequency Kenneth thing really kind of shook it up. And the one time that he walked off the set because tennis went long on CBS.
Right.
Dan Rather just, he was no Walter Cronkite.
Nope. There was... perspective. Only one Walter Cronkite, let's be honest.
1985, we said goodbye to Coach.
Robert, you want to hear a crazy, hopeless dream? I wanted to play baseball and maybe coach a little, you know? And then afterwards, 10 bar in a nice place. And look what happened to me.
Coach, that's exactly what happened to you.
Oh, yeah. No wonder I'm such a happy guy.
Nicholas Colasanto dying on this date at the age of 61. He died during the show. I mean, that's yes. happened before.
Yep.
With other, I think of Freddie Prinze. And he, of course, was on Chico and the Man, and the John Ritter and his show, The Rules to Date My Teenage Daughter. It happens where guys are on the show and they pass away.
Yeah.
He was only 61.
And we thought, how are they going to, you know, replace the coach? He was such an integral figure in the show. And then welcome Woody Boyd.
Yeah. They did it both. They did both times with Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
Placing Shelley Long and then Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, they just came in.
It's just
in
great
and,
casting right there.
It was great casting and great writing. Cheers. The writing of that show, as good as there ever has been.
How dependent are you on global positioning system, Neil? GPS, do you use your GPS quite a bit to find your way around?
Yeah, now I do, yeah.
Historic day today in the world and history of GPS. First satellite of the global positioning system placed into orbit around Earth. Of course, it would originally be used just for military purposes.
Sure.
But then eventually we'd get our hands on it.
Yeah.
And now it tells me that, you know, I'm 80 yards out with pin in the front.
Yeah.
Comes in really handy.
That's a wonderful thing, yeah.
It is. So that was 1989. 1999, remember John D. Ehrlichman?
I do.
He was an aide to Richard Nixon.
Sure.
He was disgraced and imprisoned for his role in the Watergate cover-up. He died. On this date, he was 73. We've got another Watergate reference coming up later. And 2010... Lead singer of the group The Knack, Get the Knack. This was big in your formative years, 1979. You had already graduated from high school.
Yeah.
Big 79 hit for The Knack, My Sharona.
I was living in Clinton, Iowa.
Of course you were. Or as Weird Al would say, my Bologna.
Right.
But David Feger, the lead singer of The Knack, died 2010, 7 years ago. He was 57. He had been battling brain and lung cancer since 2006.
Bad combination there.
Let's move on to birthdays.
Good evening. I'm Hugh Downs, and this is 2020.
Da-da-da, Hugh Downs.
I preferred him on Concentration.
He did a lot of stuff. Hugh Downs. 2020 was my favorite, Hugh Downs.
Yeah.
And... I'm Hugh Downs, and this is 96 today. Hugh Downs still around.
Yeah, but he did game shows and news.
He did.
Yeah.
Later in his, I mean, he settled into news.
Right.
You know, as far as my generation, we know more as news, but early on, as you mentioned, Concentration, which that's the black and white one, right? I mean, you're talking, is that late 50s and
early
into the 60s?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hugh Downs, 96 today.
Wow. We are loving up a storm. The seas are up, and the sails are torn.
It's one of the big hits for Razzie Bailey.
In your arms,
Midnight Hauler, of course, probably his most recognizable song.
And a tune we feature here on Bob.
It's Love It Up a Storm. Razzie Bailey still going strong. He is 78 today for Razzie Bailey. Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City. That seems to be a tough job.
Mm-hmm.
75 today for him. Here's that other... Watergate reference, Washington Post Watergate reporter Carl Bernstein on this date, 73. Happy birthday to him as Woodward and Bernstein. They cracked it wide open.
Yeah, they broke it.
And they were played by Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford in the movie All the President's Men.
Great movie.
Carl Bernstein, that's another one where you got to, I'd like to see that one again.
Yeah, for sure.
For the first time. See it again for the first time. 73, Carl Bernstein. Happy birthday today. He's the one that doesn't talk. You have Penn and Teller, the famous Las Vegas, the very entertaining. Penn Jillette is the big guy. He's the one who talks. Teller is silent, although they've caught him on video talking. He does talk. He can talk.
Just part of their bit.
Yeah, it's part of their bit, and he is 69, so happy birthday to Teller. Let's go to the Metrodome, 1991.
All right.
Well, they're getting ready in the Metrodome, and get used to this scene, because you'll no doubt, depending on how the Twins do, it all night long. You know, there is no game in baseball more important than Game 7 of the World Series, and no one knows that more than Jack Buck, who has called so many of them, and Tim McCarver, who batted folks 300 as his Cardinal teams won two out of three Game 7.
Pat O'Brien there. It's his birthday today. Pena in a jam. Pat O'Brien is 69 today. Happy birthday. And that opening shot when they were going to Pat O'Brien, I'm somewhere in that photo because I was in left field.
Oh, yes.
12 rows up. I'd have to look at the tickets. I say
seven
right there. Game
7,
91.
Oh, 91
it was on CBS.
Okay.
87 it was ABC. So on CBS, you got your Pat O'Brien.
Oh, sure.
Who was also, of course, a longtime sideline host and pregame host of NBA basketball CBS.
And then, he went into the, more the Hollywood gossip stuff, too.
He did. I don't know what that show was called. It was a Hollywood, Hollywood type show.
Yes.
Again, Brittany, you can look that up. Pat O'Brien, what was the Hollywood gossip show that he hosted?
I'm on it.
He is 69 today. Happy birthday. Do you remember the show also on CBS, Wise Guy?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It was late 80s, early 90s. Yes. The guy who was the wise guy, Ken Wall, is 60 today. And he got into some kind of accident that ended his acting career. I think it was a car accident or something.
Right.
And he was severely injured. He married one of the Barbie twins, as I remember. You remember the Barbie twins?
For sure.
I don't know which one. But his name is Ken Wall. Yeah, good job there. 60 today.
Wall got in some sort of an accident.
We're really putting Brittany through the paces here today. I mean, she already came up with the Bob Larette dating game idea.
She thought she had the rest of the day on.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So Ken Wall, wise guy, is 60 today. Meg Tilly, the actress. Jennifer Tilly is her sister. Meg was in The Body Snatchers, The Big Chill, most notably.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is 57 today. He was the inventor of the Kelly gun, him along with Marv Levy, Jim Kelly, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, 0-4 in Super Bowls.
Yeah, good quarterback.
Yeah.
Had some great receivers, but just what was their running back? Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas, yeah. Just couldn't win the big
one.
Get
over the hump.
Fran Tarkenton knows how he feels.
Fran was only 0-3, though.
0-3, though,
right?
Right. Joe Capp lost the other
Jim
one.
Jim Kelly, 0-4.
Yeah.
He's 57. He's a Hall of Famer. Jules Asner, TV personality. Don't know what she does. 49 today. Here's the guy. He's the new Scotty in Star Trek. New Scotty.
Okay.
Captain McCoy and the Gravity Well has got us.
Go to maximum more. Push it.
I'm giving it all she's got, Captain.
Love
Simon
it.
Pegg, who I believe is now producing or writing for these new Star Trek movies. Star Trek, Star Trek Into Darkness, Star Trek Beyond. He's done some voices. He was featured in the Star Wars movie, the Episode 7 movie. You couldn't tell it was him, though. He had this big, he was an arms junk dealer on one of the planets.
Okay.
Simon Pegg is 47 today. Rob Thomas, the singer, you remember him best from Matchbox 20. But he also went solo to perform with Santana.
This is a great song. Yeah.
How about Santana on the guitar?
Can't beat it.
They made a good combo. This is really good, too.
Rob Thomas is 45 today. Another quarterback, not a Hall of Famer, but had a decent career. Drew Bledsoe is 45 today. Drew Bledsoe, happy birthday, 45. New England Patriots, of course.
Yeah, before Brady.
Yep, just before Brady.
Yeah.
He got hurt. Brady came in.
Yeah.
Rest is history.
Yeah.
Brady hasn't given up the reins. So Bledsoe's 45. Football player, you know him as a wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, Alshon Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
He is 27. Bears are
pretty
awful.
Good. Yeah, he's a pretty good player,
He's a good player, though. We could use him.
Yeah,
he'd be
we
a
could.
Good receiver
yes,
for our
he
club.
Would.
And actor Freddie Highmore, he was Charlie in the most recent Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, 25 for him today.
All right, gone but not forgotten today. We got a couple of good ones here, Jimmy, including he is a Hall of Fame comedian, Jack Benny.
Oh, and look, Jack.
What?
Do yourself a favor today and play with a new ball.
Well, what's wrong with the ball I've been playing with?
It's got so many cuts on it, when it flies through the air, it whistles Yankee Doodle.
Well, that's the way I like it. See, at least I can tell the distance I get. 8 bars is 150 yards.
There is with the buddy Don Wilson. You know,
there
his longtime manager and partner, right?
And what was his other sidekick? Jefferson, no.
I don't remember.
Okay, I'm going to figure that out.
He remember. Was as good as they come. Great stand-up, you know, just really funny, dry wit.
Yeah, and the facial expressions. Yeah.
And he inspired a lot of other, I mean, Johnny Carson lists Jack Benny as his main inspiration.
Yes. Yeah.
And a number of other comedians also looked up to Jack Benny. Guys like Mel Brooks and those guys.
Jack Benny's tremendous. Other sidekick, look that up, fact checker. Hall of Fame comedian Jack Benny. He was born in this day way back 1894. He dabbled a little with the violin as well.
Yeah, he was musically. Yep. Yeah. Yes. In fact, this episode of the Jack Benny program, he's actually playing the violin in the opening scene.
Former Teamster leader Jimmy Hoffa. Where is he? What happened? Jimmy Hoffa.
He's in a footing somewhere.
Yes,
in some cement footing of some building in Manhattan is where Jimmy Hoffa. Remember, there was a long time they thought he was part of Giant Stadium.
Right.
He had been thrown, you know, into a big East cement Rutherford. Bat or somewhere in the Hudson River or something. His body has never been found.
Rochester. That was the guy's name. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Eddie Rochester Anderson.
Yeah, Rochester. Yeah, he was great. Jimmy Hoffa was 1913. Same year, 1913. One of the greatest voices. You would recognize it instantly if you're a baseball fan. Mel Allen.
There it is. If it stays fair, there it is. Number 60.
Number 60 for Roger Maris. How about that? That was his signature phrase. How about that?
Then he did, for years in the 70s and late 60s, he did This Week in Baseball.
Most of us knew him because we didn't have Yankee broadcast here.
Most
of us in this area, this market, knew him as the host of This Week in Baseball when he would go through his TWIB notes.
This Week in Baseball, TWIB notes, and it was just great. I watched it religiously. Such a baseball fan. I was not only a Twins fan, I was just a baseball fan. I wanted to know what every team was doing.
I always watch it to see if the Twins made it. You
know,
they got mentioned on This Week in Baseball.
Yeah, we were
and during the lean times, not often.
Not often, no. We didn't see Steve Bry lace a base hit to left field to drive in a run very often.
Or Ron Papa Up Jackson.
Right. Mel Allen was 1913. How about same day, same year? These are all 1913. Jimmy Hoffa, Mel Allen, and College Football Hall of Fame coach, longtime Ohio State coach, Woody Hayes.
He was kind of irritable, wasn't he?
He punched a guy one time. It really cost him his job. Yeah. Some guy from another team was going by, and he popped him. And, you know, as a coach, you're not supposed to hit the opposing players.
That's frowned upon.
That is frowned upon. So Woody Hayes, though, he coached the Ohio State University to 13 Big Ten championships during his 28-year career. When he and Bo Schembechler from Michigan, when they battled, it was pretty special.
Epic.
1913 for him as well. Radio personality Murray the K. Kaufman. He introduced New York City to the Beatles in 1964, and he was dubbed the fifth Beatle, one of many. That was dubbed the fifth Beatle, the K, 1922. Actor Vic Morrow, he was one of those character actors that was in every show growing up through the 60s and 70s. Hawaii Five-O and Mannix and Bonanza, all of them.
Streets of San Francisco?
Yes, with Carl Malden. Yes, he was in an episode of that.
How did he fit on screen with the nose of Carl Malden taking up half the screen?
Just he only got half of him.
Ba-dum-bum.
Combat was his show, though. He was in Combat in the early 60s. I remember watching Combat, and he was in that program. But he was filming a movie in 1982, a John Landis movie called Twilight Zone, the movie.
Yes.
And met a horrible demise.
Yeah, helicopter crashed on top of him and two kids.
He was decapitated by the rotor of the helicopter.
Oh.
He and one of the kids, like a 7 or 8 year old child, was also decapitated and killed. It was terrible. Vic Morrow, though, a longtime veteran actor,
and
1929.
I fondly remember him as the opposing coach of the Yankees in the Bad News Bears movie. Where he was yelling at his son, and his son refused to throw the ball on a ground ball off the bat of Engelbert, the hefty catcher.
Yes.
Engelbert got a home run because the coach's son refused to throw the ball because he was rebelling against his abusive father.
That was Vic Morrow who played that character. That maybe gives you a visual. Well, one of the great TV moms of all time, she was Carol Brady. You know her. Florence Henderson, her name.
Arguably the best.
Yeah, fun is fun, but you know you can carry joking too far. Somebody could end up getting hurt. Like I said,
If you carry a joke too far, somebody can get hurt.
That's right. Wise words from Carol Brady. That was the episode where the boys and the girls were trying to scare each other and who could scare them the most. Yes. And Carol's little bust that she had done, she made a little porcelain bust of Mike Brady.
And it
got busted because Alice thought it was a real person when they came in and the lights were out. And she hit it with her purse and knocked it down and shattered it.
It was tragic.
It was tragic.
Actress.
And obviously, Florence, I can remember it well.
Yes, you did. Florence Henderson, born on this day, 1934. Former Senator Paul Tsongas, you may remember the name from 1941. Actor, dancer, very talented guy, Gregory Hines. I remember him from White Knights.
Yeah.
For sure. As well as some other things. He was in Will and Grace, I think, as a recurring character
history,
as well.
History of the World Part 1. That was his first movie he was in, the Mel Brooks movie.
Okay.
That had Harvey, a lot of the same guys as Blazing Saddles.
Yes, Gregory Hines, born on this day, 1946. And former football star, remember Steve McNair?
Yeah, he took his own life, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe he did. Born on this day, 1973. They're all gone. But not forgotten.
Gone but not forgotten. I'm going to play a song. We'll do the fact checking after the song.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Total Country Bob FM. Neil, Brittany, Jim. Bobathon right around the corner after 9 o'clock on Bob.